Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. S-Wing.com. Along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network, I am Mark Grody. We collectively are in for Mully and Haw. What's going on, Biggsy? How are you this morning?
Morning, Brad.
Morning, gang. What's going on today?
Man,
love the morning gang.
Yeah, we are a gang. There's no doubt about it. That is the formation that we are in today for sure. And Biggs, one of the things that we've been talking about this morning is some of the stuff that Jalen Johnson was talking about yesterday. And I don't know if I've heard your opinion about what Ryan Poles was saying on the Bears pregame show before the Seattle game in regards to what was or was not going on in camp, that they weren't prepared essentially to begin the season. And Jalen Johnson said, you know, that can't be, and maybe there should be some discipline and guys should be benched when they're not trying hard. What did you make about all of that and these issues and them admitting that some of these issues go back to training camp?
Well, I mean, I think the issues are not necessarily guys not putting forth effort. I just think that you know, the biggest thing, and there's not one boogeyman here, okay? Like, you can't draw an X across one person's name and say, yep, that was the problem there. But you know, they made a terrible error in hiring Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator, and I think that some of the things that they needed to really drill down on and be better at are potentially some things that they just sort of wound up working on and then moving on to the next thing before maybe they had gotten as proficient or as good or had achieved a mastery of you know, whatever it was they were working on specifically at that time. And I know that probably sounds really broad and vague, but you saw them start the season offensively, and what you looked at on the field, that it was hard to tell if there was a plan or any type of plan. And that's a big part of it. When you look at some of the pre-snap penalties, they've got 26 false starts, which ranks I think that's fourth worst in the National Football League in terms of false starts. If it was one guy, that would be really easy to fix and identify, and hey, well, here's the problem. It's kind of across the board, and I, you know, that goes back to one of the things you heard them talk about a lot in the spring and in the summer was cadence with Caleb Williams. And I'm not blaming Caleb, but if the cadence isn't where it needs to be, you need to keep working on it until it gets there. And I think when you've got a whole slew of false starts, certainly cadence is one of the things that's involved there. So that's just a small part of you know, it just they didn't have the right plan to get the quarterback going. The run game stunk. I don't know. I don't think effort has been a serious issue here or a real issue here. I just think it's been a collection of things that it when they drew it up on paper, it looked all right. And boy, it's been the opposite of that.
The cadence stuff is so interesting to me because we talked about that so much during training camp.
And it's come up during the season, too.
And then Thomas Brown brought it up on Monday.
Yes.
That it's still an issue. And it's just, it's baffling to me that there wasn't a system in place. And I know all the changes in coordinators and roles and all those things play a part in sort of the quote-unquote dysfunction that I think we'll get to here in a second with you, Brad. But how do you... How does a new system, new coordinator, new head coach come in, help that next season? Like, how does that help Caleb? Yeah.
I mean, that's real easy. You come in, you identify what you want to do, and you get to work on it, and you don't go from A to B until you feel really damn good about A.
Right.
You don't go from B to C until, you know what, we got B down, and so forth. And then... hopefully that process is smooth enough to at some point at the beginning of training camp, you kind of do a review of it all. Like, hey, we're just going to roll through this again just so we all make sure we're in a pretty good spot here. And that, you know, that didn't happen here. And again, that this isn't to put it all on Waldron. Okay. Like, cause that would,
right,
that just wouldn't be accurate. You know, forget being fair; it just wouldn't be accurate. You know, Eberflus, all of them, they all share in some of this because you know they feel like collectively they're better than four wins, and I think they probably are. But boy, you know, they haven't gone out and done it, and so. You are what your record says you are, and they're at the bottom, staring up a long ways to the teams at the top, and what's been a fantastic division otherwise.
Yeah, and that always sparks the question for me, Brad. Has this just been a bad year, or is this a bad team? You know, and you mentioned the coaches. Always fair to bring up the coaches. Like when you don't have the right coaches in place, that's going to lead to bad things. So I guess the follow-up question is, and I know I've asked forms of this question before, but can we call it right now in terms of how much change has to be made, or should a lot of this come back next year? Because it seemed like a pretty good roster in a lot of ways with a lot of talented players, or was this just a crap season for a lot of individuals?
Well, you can only perform so much change here. They don't have a ton of players coming out of contract. Especially veteran guys, they've got a decent collection, maybe a little bit more than usual, of players that'll be restricted free agents. I'm talking about like a Josh Blackwell, Jack Sanborn, Jalen Jones. You know, they've got some guys that have played some solid roles for them, haven't been frontline guys that you're going to have to take a look at and decide what you want to do. Unfortunately, they've got a lot of cap space, so whatever moves they want to make with those RFA types, it's really not going to be a problem. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of the guys back. I mean, a new coaching staff is going to dictate some level of change. They're going to, you know, you're going to come in and you're going to say, okay, you know, what's the profile for your new coaching staff at each position? What's that guy look like? Okay. I'm talking height, weight, other physical traits. And some of the guys the Bears have will probably fit or be pretty close to maybe what the new coaching staff seeks at some of those positions.
Do you think Keenan Allen?
Won't.
Yeah.
I don't think you re-sign Keenan
Allen.
I mean, it depends what he wants,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he was making $22, $23 million this year, he had some availability issues earlier in the season. It's going to depend on his number, but if he wants, you know, anything close to anything in the high teens, even for 1 year, I don't know how you do that. They've got to focus on the lines, Mark. Yeah. They've got to focus on the lines. They've got to have a better running game, because that when they do that, that's going to make the quarterback better. You know, you can do an interesting little exercise. Look at the top 10 scoring offenses in the National Football League, and probably seven of them are top 10 in rushing. And there's a handful of reasons why. You know, if you're scoring a bunch, you're winning games, you're able to run the ball later in the ball game. That's one of them. If you're scoring a bunch, you're probably balanced on offense, so you can do a little bit of everything. If you're scoring a bunch, you probably got a good offensive line, so you can do a bit of everything. So they've got to focus on the trenches. I don't know that Keenan would have a future here, but you know, since he got back on the field after that hiccup early in the season, he's been a lot more productive than I would have thought at the time. You know, when that plantar fasciitis was giving him problems, I looked at it, I said, oh boy, he's not going to be able to do anything for him.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be on the injury report a lot more this year, Brad. Yeah,
and he got off the injury report, and he's gotten some volume in the passing game and been productive.
Going back to what you were saying about the coaching staff and kind of their description of what they want in a position or player, physical attributes, whatever it may be, isn't a big part of the interview process for the incoming head coach going through the Bears roster and saying, this is how I'm going to get the most out of this group? Like, that's a big part of his qualifications, because he's going to be dealing with this roster no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're going to want, I think both parties are going to have questions about that process, where the coach is going to look at it and say, hey, you know, I've watched, X number of games that you played on film. Like if they've got Brian Flores or Ben Johnson for an interview, like those guys would be doing a disservice to their club if they watched all 17 Bears games on film, right? There's just not enough time.
Right.
But, hey, we prepared to play you guys twice this season, mm-hmm. and I watched these other couple games, and here's what I like about Darnell Wright or Kyler Gordon. You know, and you go mm-hmm. through different guys on the roster, but those coaches are probably going to have questions about him too. Like, what's the makeup of that guy? How would he fit?
Right.
So yeah, that's a back and forth that needs to take place. And a huge part of that conversation is going to be, you know, how does it all fit around Caleb Williams, and how do you bring out the best in him? How do you help Caleb Williams get to the next level? Because he's got to be greatly improved in year two.
Brad, I hope that the new head coach has a plan to get Cole Kmet more involved. I mean, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and obviously getting a ton of, you know, getting the good guy award and just the ultimate professional. But I need this new head coach to come in and say, here's how you guys failed to use Cole Kmet last year, and here's my plan to use him.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate because Cole in general and the position, it's a friendly target for the quarterback. It's that guy that should give you some easy completions that are, you know, between 9 and 12 yards downfield on average or thereabout. Kudos to Cole. He's operated with the patience of Job this season, and he's been a stand-up guy, but that's one of the real mysteries, and I just don't think they got going with a cohesive plan, which goes back to Waldron, it goes back to Eberflus, and, you know, they went out and they got Gerald Everett, and you looked at it and you said, okay, well, they've got this pass catcher that they can kind of pair up with Cole, who can do a little bit of everything, right? You feel like he blocks well, and he's productive in the passing game, and, you know, nothing's happened for either of them. So that may be one of those mysteries that remains unsolved in Lake Forest for a while. But, yeah, the new guy, instead of figuring out or maybe pinpointing exactly where it went wrong for Komet this season, needs to figure out how to turn him into, you know, a productive guy who's going to catch 65, 70 balls a year. Heck, last year he was a valuable red zone target for Justin. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think 70 catches for 740 to 760 yards and half a dozen touchdowns, like those are realistic numbers. We're not talking about video game numbers here or Travis Kelce type stats. Like this is just stuff Cole ought to be able to go out and do. And, you know, again, fortunately he's been a pro and he's also been, super durable still. He'll play, Sunday at Green Bay and keep his consecutive games played streak, going, which I know is something he takes, you know, a great measure of pride in.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think eventually we have to look at Caleb Williams for a lot of the responsibility for some of these things, for not getting the ball to Cole Komet, for some of these slow starts. And that also brings me, Brad, to one of the things that Caleb was really enthusiastic about yesterday. I'll just put it that way. And borderline, I don't know if angry is the right word, but defending his offensive line yesterday on all of the sacks this year, the 67 sacks, and Caleb Williams basically saying, you know, get off my guys' backs and taking some responsibility for those sacks. So how much responsibility do you think Caleb Williams has with some of the I don't know if dysfunction is the right word or whatever that has gone on with this offense this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a part of it. But you expect some of those growing pains with a rookie quarterback, and you just hoped that the Bears would be able to, you know, work through them. And it looked like they were early in the year when they're 4-2, when they're one play away from being 5-2. And it turned on them and they couldn't get it back. But yeah, he's a leader. He's not, if he's got things to say about, how guys have performed at other positions, he's gonna have those conversations privately and do it the right way. And so, and he has run into way more sacks than he should. Mm-hmm. He can defend the offensive line. They're still gonna need to replace at least three of the starters. I think three is probably the number I would expect for next season, and be better there. It's protecting him. It's running the football. It's finding players for that position that are going to fit the vision of the play caller, of the offensive line coach. They everything's got to come together. They got some ingredients out of the cupboards for this season, and none of it really matched for the right recipe.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it, and in a lot of those cases. One other thing, too, that I thought was interesting, Brad, and I don't know if this was something that we should have assumed already based on the Detroit game on Thanksgiving Day, but Thomas Brown was up front yesterday in saying that he's in charge of the timeouts and that there's very little autonomy right now on the part of Caleb Williams, that he controls those things. Were you surprised to hear that from Thomas Brown, that Caleb can't just call a timeout if he wants?
I don't think most quarterbacks have that leeway. Like I think that's something the coaches for pretty much every team is in charge of, maybe with the rare exceptions of, you got the clock winding down and you're not going to be able to get the playoff, but I think more times than not, you see that call actually coming from where the sideline than you do the quarterback. No, that's not a surprise to me. And they should be handling that on the sideline. And there are more than enough instances this season where they needed to be a little bit better with game management. We've seen some other teams in some high-profile situations have some clunky clock management. I'm not going to defend any of them. I am going to say when you're at the tavern or on the couch and you're watching the ball game, it is a heck of a lot easier to manage the clock and your beverage than it is to manage the clock, be dealing with everything that goes on the sideline, going from play to play and all that. Like, they've got a zillion things going on. I'm not defending any of the errors that have been made, not missed opportunities, but errors in clock management. I'm not defending that, but when literally all you've got going on is your beer and determining when they should bang a timeout, that's a heck of a lot that is easier.
Why are you so mad at the beer drinkers out there, Brad? You think people
when you multitasking between your beverage and banging a timeout
right.
and banging the timeout and about 30 other things at one time, it's a little bit more complicated.
Ruthie, you got to manage your beverage.
I also
Ruthie.
Think people underestimate the cooks in the kitchen in those situations and all the people that are trying to chime in.
They're drinking wine when they're in that kitchen.
No,
they're
I'm saying for the coach, the coach and the actual people that are making those decisions. I just think it's underestimated how many people want to chime in those situations. I know Thomas Brown and Chris Beatty have talked about streamlining that information, but clearly that's didn't really help them this past weekend anyway. Brad, I wanted to just also quickly ask you about, Thomas Brown getting a lot of questions about his future and, do you see him getting a look and by the Bears a real serious consideration for this job at this point? Obviously, he's handled a lot of this, unfortunately, a pretty unfortunate situation for him to be thrown into.
Yeah, I think he'll receive an interview.
Mm-hmm.
What I call it a serious interview. If they're going to interview him, I hope it's a serious interview. Do I believe he has a serious chance at the job? No, I do not.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's almost customary for the interim guy to get an opportunity to sit down and interview for the job when it's complete, right? And I think that's an opportunity for Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles and if George is in the room or whoever else to maybe hear everything that Thomas has to say about what he experienced since he was hired, last January. Hey, here's what I saw in the building. If you want to know what I think about these issues, here it is. And he's a pretty direct guy. He's probably already shared some of that with them, but, I would imagine he gets an interview. I would hope that if they're going to do it, that, it's a real interview and all parties are listening and paying full attention. Do I think he's got a shot at it? No, I don't.
Brad, last thing real quick. Ruthie informed me of a report today that the Minnesota Vikings are reportedly listening to or will listen to offers for J.J. McCarthy.
I am not reporting that.
No. Well,
Adam Schefter, I think, alluded to the Vikings will listen to offers.
You surprised by that at all?
Well, they got to figure out what they want to do in terms of Sam Darnold, right, who they brought in on a one-year deal. And the guy's blown it up this year. He's been fantastic. If Darnold takes them to the NFC Championship game or they somehow reach the Super Bowl, are you really going to let him walk and turn over the keys to J.J.? Mm. That's going to be interesting. Like, you're either going to – J.J.'s either going to leave or – by trade or Darnold's probably going to leave. Like, I think it's just a difficult, it's challenging anyway to have them both back. And maybe you listen on JJ if you feel really good about Darnold. Like, hey, Sam's our guy for 5 years. We're comfortable paying Sam to be our guy and to stay in place. Then if you can get good value for McCarthy, when you consider this isn't a good draft for quarterbacks, maybe you see what's out there.
Yeah,
and because they could probably use some draft capital. That's the one thing that they haven't done well there is they haven't drafted great, right? Like, you look at the past couple draft classes where you're like, geez, they're Kevin O'Connell's performing magic tricks here, but what's he getting from their draft picks? And you go through some of the lists and you're like, geez, this not a lot here. Maybe they could get something for JJ. That's interesting in the NFC North, worth keeping an eye on.
Bigsy, great stuff as always. See you out at the hall, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, that is Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk to Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. Coming up directly next, though, Ruthie, I have a birthday / anniversary that I would like to talk about.
Ooh, I love a birthday or
you.
An anniversary.
Yes, Ruthie.
Any excuse to celebrate anything.
Absolutely right, because we're all out of celebrations, folks. Get to work. Enough. Enough.
So depressing.
Seriously, it is.
I was happy that the Christmas decorations were still up today. Like, you know, those like things start to come down. Now it's like that's when I get real sad.
I know, but they start to look stale. Like the lights, even in the studio, even though they're on. They look sad to me. They look sad because they know they have to come down soon and they're just trying to elude us. Ruthie, who is not reporting that.
I just wanted to clarify that. It's like, yeah, JJ McCarthy called me.
Well,
the Michigan connection.
I didn't want to just, oh, yeah, that's right. You've protected yourself.
JJ.
I just wanted to make sure I gave you proper credit before I answer that question because I would not have thought of it if you hadn't brought it up to me off the air at one point in time. Mm. But we do need to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about that great celebration we are having today right here on The Score.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Hi, it's the Molly and Haw Show with Mark Grody and Ruthie Polinsky. Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network. I have a Bears report coming up at 8 o'clock. Really good stuff from Hallis Hall yesterday. I was there. I was in the locker room. I was in the interview room. And we got a bunch of good things that you need to hear coming up at 8. Mark Potash in just a little bit from the Chicago Sun-Times as well. But the birthday song is playing. You heard Harry. Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike. 33 years ago today, Ruthie Polinsky, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, came on the air. And here we are, all blessed to be part of this great radio station. And a leader in Chicago sports, like when we started, maybe it was still the headlines and the papers and things like that. I feel like we kind of lead the charge now on the talking points that go on in this town here regarding Chicago sports.
Absolutely. It's, wow. Happy birthday. Should we sing?
Yeah, let's do it.
No.
Happy birthday. No, yeah.
We won't sing. It's so cool to be a part of just a little part of this station. And I know we're going to talk more about this later on in the show, but just to be a small part, like when I came to Chicago, you know, I love sports talk radio. And I worked a little bit in Rhode Island. I worked for 3 years and I loved Boston sports talk radio. That's kind of how I fell in love with sports talk radio. And so every new city that I go to, I'm like trying, I always go and I'm trying to find the station. And it was very quickly for me. Like this was the answer. Like,
absolutely.
This place. And it's very comforting to me now. People say to me, they're like, you listen to David Haw every morning, like on Million Hall, because we work together now. They're like, you listen to him every morning? I go, every morning. It's like my religion.
Yeah,
like
let's see what's going on.
What's going on? It's how you get
what's
your news.
Down?
It's how you start developing your own opinions. What do I agree with? What do I disagree with? It's like the best way to start my day.
You just put on the Pick Six, like even if you miss it live, hey, I'll tell you that you go back to the Odyssey app and listen to Ruthie and I from 6 o'clock and we'll set your template. And that's what Molly and Haw do every day. And then it extends throughout the entire broadcasting day here on The Score for sure. Yeah, I mean, I started here full time in 2010. It's always easy for me to remember that because that was the first year of the Blackhawks run of titles. So that's easy for me to base it back. And you know, I was like a lot of people that are from here that I remember listening to the Score, and what a revelation it was. Oh my God, they are dedicating. I was probably in late high school or college. They're dedicating. I was in college actually. A station that is all sports. You got to be kidding me.
So cool,
right? Like, yeah. I mean, because that concept was new. There were sports shows that existed, like Chuck Swirsky was doing sports radio before everybody else, and Chet Kopick and some of these guys, some of the classics for sure. But it was like, oh my God. And I was like, I will be part of that someday. I was like, I must be part of something like that. So happy birthday to the Score and everybody that walks these hallways and everybody that has walked these hallways. I mean, I'm not so dumb to think that I am in the top 100 of most important people that ever worked here, because there's a lot of people that come before me, and that is for sure. But happy birthday to the Score. So really, happy birthday to all of us. Happy birthday to the tree. Happy birthday to Alex Kuhn.
Oh, yes.
Happy anniversary. Happy birthday to all of you guys, because you guys are a big part of this as well.
Now, I know we did the extra point, but are you guys down for going for two? Like an extra point at 8:40?
I'm so down.
The elusive extra point. Will that be
our favorite moments in Score history? Oh. What made us fall in love with the Score?
Okay.
We would love some caller interaction as well on that.
That'd nice. That's great.
Ooh, that would be great.
So what time is the extra point going to be?
8:40.
Okay. So think about that.
Hour like from right now. You have an hour to figure it out.
Your favorite Score moments, and anything from anybody that works here now, people that have worked in the past, your favorite Score moments. I'll give you my favorite Score moments. And Ruthie, you're going to have to work up a bunch. I want your 20 greatest Score moments.
I've lived here for a year and a half. No, but someone on Twitch just said, is Ruthie even as old as the station? I'm not.
I am.
But I have a lot. I have some favorite. I mean,
you're right on.
I'm so honored and like humbled to just even get to come and hang out with you guys every once in a while. And I've only been doing this for a couple of months. And one of my favorite stories I tell people of just the reach of the station and how awesome it is. Like I've been here almost 2 years now, and I was on NBC Sports, and you know, on TV, Chicago Sports Network. And I was in the airport a couple months ago, and I'm going through TSA, and I hear Ruthie. And I turn around, I'm like, oh my gosh, someone's recognizing me from TV. I turn around and the TSA agent and security is like, I love listening to you on the Score.
It's
and
unbelievable.
I'm like, that's awesome. Like, yeah. And he recognized me too from listening on the radio. Like, that just shows you the reach of this thing. And it's awesome to be a small part of it.
It's so true. I mean, it really is. One of the great things that's going on here at the Score is this cool thing that we're doing for the second year in a row. If you are a local business owner or employee, how would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 59 right here on the Score? This is your chance. We have brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 59 from Westwood One. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now. Stat. And learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 19th. When we come back, actually a guy that's probably been listening to the Score from the very beginning, Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, will talk more Bears with us here on the Mully and Haw Show with Ruthie Polinsky and Mark Grody on the Score.
With nothing at stake in the standings, and with, you know, Caleb possibly being in an offense that he won't be in next year, was there any consideration given by you or Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren to sitting Caleb this week?
Yeah, so when you say nothing at stake, so there's a game that's going to be played. So at stake as far as competing and winning a football game, which I think is different from maybe the outside world's perspective, there's always an opportunity at stake to go compete and be at your best.
God, that Rolling Stone sounds so good right now. Music has its moments. It's places, it's context, and for some reason that just sounds particularly good. Over our next guest, Mark Potash, of the Chicago Sun-Times joining us here on the Mully and Haw Show. I'm Mark Grody, along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network, and Potsy joins us on the Aturo Tire guest line, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. What's going on, Potsy? Good morning.
Morning, Potsy.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. We were actually just talking about today is the 33rd anniversary of this here radio station, of The Score. And I imagine, being the all-around Chicago sports fan that you are, and Mark Potash is one of the only legitimate roots for the Cubs, roots for the Sox guys in this town, or is invested in both teams. What do you remember about The Score coming on back in the day, and how excited were you? You must have been.
I remember the excitement. You know, I've been a sports talk caller since I was in high school in the 70s. You know, any whatever talk show there was, I would call, and so I was a total nerd and a sports geek. So I always thought, you know, it's funny. I always wanted there to be something like The Score on the radio, but I'll be honest. My vision of The Score probably would have been out in 6 months. So credit to everybody who put it together, you know, from the very first crew to all the staff, everybody who was involved, for really putting together something that absolutely works and had staying power. Because it takes some inventiveness to really be good at that and for it to stick. It wasn't an automatic, as everybody knew back then. And I think The Score's done a great job of doing that and kind of evolving. And as a sports fan, I say I'm glad it's here, because it's brought a lot of other sports talk to Chicago that they didn't have. I had to search for shows to call when I was 16, 17 years old. And
hilarious, man.
And I probably don't sound any smarter now than I did then, but that's okay. You know, it's always great.
I was just going to say, that's how you got so good. You had early reps of asking questions and coming up with takes, and that's why you're so good at what you do now.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was such a geek, such a nerd. I used to tape the shows that I was on. So I have some of those old calls I used to make to some of these shows, and man, if you think I have bad takes now,
oh,
you should have heard me
them.
In 1976, you know, talking the Bears draft and Vince Evans. You know, it's just,
wow. We got to see those tapes.
They will never see the light of day. That'll be the lost tapes, you know.
So. That's hilarious.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Well, Potsy, I'm with you. Like, what are the Bears playing for? I know that Thomas Brown seemed to, I don't know, take exception as a Redwood, but very much thinks that this is a real game. That's not realistic when a team has lost 10 in a row. How are you handling this game this week in terms of what you're looking for, if anything, about the actual Bears-Packers game?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's really not a whole lot to look for, especially for a game, you know, a Bears-Packers game. You know, there's usually something. Well, they can get salvage something. I don't think a win really does much at all. For Bears fans, I mean, you know, this season has been such a lost cause that even that, you don't even really, to me, you really don't even have that to hang your hat on. You know, Caleb Williams, I agree with him playing. I think it's a legitimate question because
100%.
Of the injury factor and with the sacks he's been taking. But, like I think I wrote off of that press conference, you know, that's sitting in week 18 is something that quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have earned the right to do. Mm-hmm. And in the development stage, you don't really do that. You know, you don't protect your quarterback like that. So I think that's the right move. You just, like I said, you just keep your fingers crossed. But there, he'll be in a different offense next year, almost certainly. And with different teammates, even, there's nothing to build off. I remember covering a finale, I think it was in 2000, that covered the finale at Detroit. The Bears had a similar bad season under Dick Geron, and they had a really good game. They played a really great game against the Lions, and I remember poo-pooing it and just dismissing it as too late. And it actually, you know, led to the great 2001 season. It was actually a foundation, a building block of that season under Geron. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't see there being much to play for in that regard here. I think the Bears are going to be the Bears in 2025, regardless of what happens in this game.
I think a win, Potsy, would almost just be comical, right? To snap the losing streak against Green Bay in Lambeau and it mean nothing would just be like the most Bearsy thing of Bears things to happen this year. If anything, I think what we were talking about a little bit earlier on the show is just to have some sort of positive momentum for the players and the locker room and sort of the camaraderie, because a lot of these players are going to be back next year. And Thomas Brown, I think for his resume to be like, I was able to somehow, some way in this crazy situation, pull out a win in Lambeau Field. I mean, that's sort of, I think, what the team needs to be rallying around this week, because, you know, you listen to the press conferences, you listen to all the sound coming out of Halas Hall this week, and no one's talking about this game on Sunday.
Right, right. But, you know, you're right about that, Ruthie. But even that, going back to what you said earlier, is like, even that would almost be like ironic,
right?
Because I think the theme of this team is that it has not responded.
Mm-hmm.
And all this kumbaya, we have still have a great locker room and we're tight, and that they like each other, which they do, has not produced anything. The story of this season is the lack of response to, like, the Hail Mary and every game after that that they were supposed to respond to and never did. And that's what I'll be honest, that bothers me more about this team, because I think it kind of exposes that the makeup of the team, even though it's a strange thing, a bunch of good guys who like each other, and yet you still can't win. What does Ryan Poles do? What does it start getting worse, guys? I mean, you know, it's a locker room makeup situation that is much trickier than normal seasons like this, where it's the result of a bad locker room or having bad elements in the locker room that you have to get rid of. Like when the Bears immediately got rid of Ryan Pace, got rid of Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett in 2015, and then they don't have those fixes to make, and that's the point. It's a good locker room that responded like a bad one, and that's to me, that's a much bigger issue for Ryan Poles than just fixing the offensive line.
In the year 2000, the Chicago Bears were 6-10. As Potsy said, they beat Detroit 23-20 in the season finale at the Pontiac Silverdome. Next year, the magical 13-win 2001, which wasn't sustainable, but I always like doing this here, Potsy, and I know you like this too. Shane Matthews that day, 14 of 18, 123 yards. Cade McNown was the backup. James Allen carried 22 times for 72 yards. Marty Booker, 7 catches for 79 yards. Was that his second? No, that was his first go around with the Bears. And then leading the team in tackles that day, Mike Brown with 18 tackles that day.
And the thing they did was they made plays. R.W. McQuarters had like a big interception and a big play in that game, and those were the kind of plays they ended up making in 2001.
Yeah.
So it was kind of it wasn't just they won, it's the way they won that was a precursor to it. But to be honest, I went the total opposite skeptical way and said no way, because even then that wasn't the Bears. By then, you know, the Ditka regime was over, and I was already skeptical about, you know, the Bears doing too much too late. And here we are 25 years later and kind of the same old story. I guess that's probably not a great thing either.
Yeah, no, it's true. But and let's bring it back to the present here. Last thing that I have for you here right now is, what did you think yesterday about Caleb Williams? And we're going to play some of this audio coming up. Caleb Williams and his seemingly very, very serious, legitimate defense of his offensive line in regards to the sacks that he has taken this year.
Yeah, I thought it was great that he said that, and that it showed, you know, kind of, I guess, maturity and leadership. I just hope he's wrong. You know, if he's if the problem is the quarterback for all the sacks, you might have a quarterback problem. So you really got to hope that it is the offensive line and not the quarterback, because frankly, quarterbacks don't change when it's the quarterback's fault. There's not a history of that changing. When a quarterback has a lot of sacks, and I kind of looked into this last night, there's always changes on the offensive line. I mean, Joe Burrow was sacked like 50 times the year they went to the Super Bowl that year. They went to the Super Bowl, and they had four new offensive linemen the next year. So, I mean, so usually the issue, at least if in perception, if not reality, is that it is the offensive line. So I say this with some seriousness that, like I said, I think it's great that he said it. I just hope he's wrong. Because
yeah, that's a great point, man.
I don't think it's a good sign that number one overall pick is taking that many sacks on his own.
Amen.
That doesn't show good instinct as a quarterback. That's not an it factor guy to me.
Yeah.
So hopefully he was just being overly nice and wanted to be a good teammate, which he's really tried so hard to be, or he's just been, I think naturally been. I shouldn't even say try. He's actually been, and I think I'll be honest. I'm hoping that was the issue because the Bears are going to have changes in their offensive line in the offseason.
Potsy, great stuff as always. We'll see you out at the Hall, man. Thanks for checking
Potsy.
In.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Yep, there goes Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. When we come back, Ruthie, full-on Bears report, and we can find out why you're so disgusted right now about what Mark Potash just
left it. We're going to break after that.
Coming up on The Score.